Hi there, my name is Jamie Mackay and I lead the postgraduate learning and teaching programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. The following podcast is part of a series of interviews with graduates of the part-time M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Arts programme. This programme is delivered on a blended learning model but can also be studied fully remotely. All participants on the programme have a role as an arts educator and the programme is designed to help them develop their teaching practice and their arts practice, and it culminates in a self-designed final project. For more information on the programme, check the website on rcs.ac.uk/med. In this podcast, I'm very pleased to be talking to Chris Pendergast. Chris is a Gaelic medium art and design and Gaelic teacher from Glasgow who's worked in the Gaelic medium sector for over 10 years. His background is in product design, graphic design and illustration, and he's currently working on a Gaelic children's picture book. His work focuses on themes of identity, sense of place, folklore and oral history. Could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
My name's Chris Pendergast. I teach art and design at Greenfold High School in Cumbernauld, and specifically I work with the Gaelic medium sector.
You're working with learners. What's your goal?
I think my primary goal is to try and make, on a very personal level anyway, my primary goal is to try and give learners as close to an experience that I had in my arts education when I was at school. And by that, I mean try and create an environment that they're comfortable to express themselves in, where they feel that they're able to let go of their inhibitions, any kind of preconceptions they might have about art, or any kind of sense of self-consciousness about making mistakes. That's something that I find particularly prominent. I try to make sure that they don't have that and they've got quite a comfortable, supportive environment that they can actually work well in. And as well as actually doing the artwork themselves, I find the therapeutic side of art and design quite important as well, especially in this day and age when we're talking about mental health and things like that. And I sometimes feel that can get in the marks towards exams and things like that, that can often get sort of brushed under the carpet or forgotten about. And I think art in particular, along with some other subjects, there's that can play a special role in that, because there is a role for conversation and things in the productive classroom. And that's kind of things that I try and bring in. I try to foster an atmosphere where people want to come to the subject, they want to take part in it, and it's something that they feel included and something that they feel important.
And what barriers get in the way of achieving that goal then?
I think quite often, like other subjects, the confines and the constraints of the school day, it can sometimes be the constraints of the curriculum itself. You're sometimes trying to meet arbitrary barriers and meet arbitrary standards, and it can sometimes get in the way of the flow of the creativity, and that's something that has to be navigated around. In addition to that, it can sometimes be the preconceptions that people bring with them that can come through their peer group, could come through other staff members, it can be social or cultural things, you know, it can come through the home. And I try and make my classroom like a wee kind of haven away from that, where they can leave these things at the door and they don't have to worry about these things. But quite often that's the problem, and you find sometimes a discrepancy between the facilities and the opportunities that people have outside school, and these things can be contributing factors.
So what strategies do you use to help you achieve your goal and or deal with the barriers?
I think first and foremost, like I was saying, it's trying to navigate around these kind of barriers. What I would do when I try and design my subjects and I try and design my topics that I'm doing, I try and think of things that are more accessible. In specific terms, I would try and shy away from materials that are particularly expensive, things that they can't use. And I try and teach them creativity is not necessarily about using the best or the most expensive materials. And it's about that process, and it's about the learning and the fact that they feel comfortable doing these things. And in a way, okay, you're learning process and media handling, but in a sense that's immaterial, because you know, if you embed the creativity and you embed the enjoyment, and that then that will transcend what media that you're using. And that's something I try and do to make my lessons a bit more inclusive. And sometimes, like a wee project that we'd done, we had a printmaking project on the go, and there was quite a lot of, well, what I always say is any like ink that you're wasting away is wasted ink. So what I did was we used the rest of the ink to make text and backgrounds, which we then put together into sketchbooks. We tied the sketchbooks up with ribbon and we sent the kids away with them, and it was just a wee afterthought, and some of the pupils went home and used that wee sketchbook, and that was maybe something that maybe they didn't have, or if they'd been home and they'd asked for a sketchbook, they maybe wouldn't have, maybe not have been something that they would have thought of doing. So I try and, I'm very conscious of the use of the materials, basically, I would say, and I try and make sure that the creativity feeds into that and the materials don't dictate what they're actually doing in the lesson, if that makes sense.
It does indeed, yeah. So how would you measure your success as an arts educator? How do you measure it?
I think the success is quite, and especially in art, is quite individual. It can sometimes be not necessarily about who has the best piece, and by that I mean judging the outcome on a set of pre-agreed standards, but it can sometimes be about where a certain pupil came from and what barriers they broke through. I can think of one particular pupil. We were doing a abstract portrait drawing. This particular pupil has got autistic spectrum disorder, and he struggles with the concept of abstract. It was quite alien to him. He was often coming back going, I don't understand this, but how can this be me if it doesn't look like me? And there was a lot of questions like that. And the piece he produced was just absolutely beautiful. And I think the reason that he did that is because he looked at every single barrier that was in front of them. He asked very logical questions and he broke them down one by one, and he followed the process and he bought into the process. And to see a pupil come from a point where he just simply couldn't understand he couldn't get his head around the very basic starter drawing, where we were drawing continuous line drawings. I was getting the pupils to look into the spoon as a reference to their self-portrait. And that was probably the most difficult stage of the process for him. And the piece that he produced at the end was just absolutely fantastic, to the point where it's up on display just now. And that's a wee example about how I would measure success. It's the journey that the pupils have individually came from, and I don't think you can necessarily measure that with a standard set of criteria. And it's sometimes down to looking at where they've been and where they've arrived at it by the end.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So how would you describe the ideal relationship between you and your learner?
I think it has to be quite a positive one, and it has to be an open one. I like my classroom, as I was saying before, to be quite a friendly and inclusive place. I'm quite recognizant of the atmosphere and the mood in the room. It's just sometimes quite difficult when I don't have my own space. I share the art rooms with other teachers. I would use a lot of kind of music and ambience and things to kind of set a mood, and that would just depend on what pupils that I have in. I like to be quite open. I try and encourage a bit of dialogue and a bit of conversation when pupils are together. That's maybe something that the teacher can dip in and dip out from as well. But I think if you get that right, and you get that atmosphere right where the pupils can engage not just with each other but the teacher, I think that sets the scene for where you can get creativity taking place. Because it's very difficult to be creative and have your guard up, and I think part of that is relaxing into it. And when the pupils feel comfortable and they feel that they're in an environment that they want to be in, I feel that's where you can get creativity, because there's a trust that's built up, and with that trust, it allows people to be vulnerable. And I think that's part of the learning process. I've picked up from pupils quite often that they're terrified of mistakes, and that's one of the biggest barriers to creativity. So I think setting that atmosphere and building that relationship or trust up is absolutely fundamental to establishing creativity in the classroom.
Thanks, Chris. So what job title are you most comfortable with?
Art teacher's usually the one that I use, but I'm also teaching other subjects as well. I'm teaching Gaelic and I'm teaching a bit of French this year as well, although art's my, still my primary subject. But I've various bits and pieces. I could, a job title would look like an A4 sheet of paper if it was being perfect.
All right. So what three values would you say are central to your practice as an arts educator?
I think creativity, trust, and probably honesty. And by honesty, I mean, like I was saying, about being honest about the mistakes you've made and being honest about the pitfalls that you've fallen into through a process. I think that's the probably the kind of three values I would pin on.
So slightly different question. Now, if you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
That's a good question. I might have to think about this, actually. Sorry, can you repeat that, actually? Just
yeah, it's quite a long question. So if you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
I'm going to say Andy Warhol, just somebody that I'm quite inspired by anyway. He's always been quite a big influence on me, but the particular reason is I feel because he could cut across what were accepted standards at the time, and he seemed to challenge the status quo quite a lot, and I think that's quite important. Also like to pick his brain about the processes and how he came up with things, but I think that was somebody who wasn't just an artist in the sense that he had an artistic output. He was an artist in every sense of the word. He lived for art, and I think his creativity transcended just that one medium. Even when you look at like the Warhol superstars and film, the Velvet Underground, I just feel he was almost just part of an avant-garde movement, and I just think there's so much to learn. I've always kind of like aspired to be a bohemian, but I really don't live that lifestyle. So,
so if you could ask him one question, what would you ask him?
Is that a wig? No, I'm not really. No, I think it would, assuming I was getting an honest answer, he's actually a deeply religious person. I've always been curious about how he felt his religion dovetailed in with the rest of his existence and where he saw that fit in. And I just, he had a very distinct public persona, but that was very distinct from his personal background. I'd like to see how he reconciled both of them. And not that I necessarily think there's a conflict there, but it's just something that I don't feel he really addressed. And for somebody that had such a deep-seated sense of religiosity, I'd like to see how he felt that influenced his daily life.
So how do you think he would answer?
Probably monosyllabically, if I'm being honest, but it's a good question. I've often wondered how that is, but I think it would actually, a lot of people seem to assume that there's some sort of contradiction with the way his public persona was and his private persona, but I think you probably find there was a lot of kindness in his one-to-one interactions, and I feel he actually had a strange ability. If you look at the Warhol superstars in particular, he was choosing people that were they were very out there and they didn't exactly conform to conservative standards of the time. So in a sense, there was almost like a kind of Christ-like non-judgmentalness that was there, and I think that's quite good. And he seemed to recognise a humanity in everybody, flaws or otherwise, and I think that's quite good, because you could dismiss people by using labels or using flaws or whatever, but he seemed to see something fantastic in everybody. And I think sometimes the Warhol superstars are seen as being some superficial kind of, here's a superstar, we'll throw him away tomorrow, quite kind of consumerist, but I think he was seeing something fantastic in all these characters that he's seen about that people might shy away from, and I think that's quite interesting.
Great, thank you. Final question, is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say, thinking about where I was before I did the Masters with RCS, my education had been quite bitty. I had done bits and pieces here. I'd never seemed to do quite what I wanted, always done a part of it. I felt I had a very good skill set, but I felt what I lacked, and I never had an experience where I could really work on the creative process and creative thinking. And I feel that through doing the postgraduate course with RCS, I think that was the kind of missing piece where it actually allowed me to develop my creative thinking skills and my critical thinking skills. And what that's allowed me to do is it's allowed me to take the technical experience and the skills that I'd built up over the years and put it together into something more closely to the experience that I actually would have liked to have had in the first place. So it actually helped me a lot to kind of to pivot and segue from a place I felt I was quite far away from where I wanted to be in terms of my art practice. And I just feel through accessing the creativity and the type of discussions that were had, I feel that that was able to feed back in and sort of pull me back onto a path that I was more comfortable with.
Well, thanks very much, Chris. Really enjoyed your responses. Fascinating. And I'm sure our listeners will when this goes out. But just want to say thank you very much.
No worries, that was good.
Okay. For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.